VentureCast. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And also, as you were mentioning, a brewer of craft beer. And you've got a big beer release coming out here in the next week or so.
And have it right here.
Oh, beautiful. Can't wait to get into that.
Look at that. It's called Black Blood of the Earth. It's a barrel-aged barley wine hitting a 11.5% ABV right now.
That's a cool-ass can, though.
Oh, yeah. So the design was done by one of Barnett's buddies. So I guess I should say it's a collaboration beer with Josh Barnett.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, his buddy Solo Macello is the artist that did that, and we got to put my little logo on there.
All right.
That's really sweet.
The War Master logo on there.
Welcome, fellow Leshes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
What I do?
So, all right. So marshmallow Pepsi and Jack is what you're drinking.
I am for this.
Okay. That's an interesting choice for a guy who.
Do you want to try?
Brews beer. Brewer of craft beer.
I can't drink beer, man.
Well, you could have found a good gluten free. They're
horrible.
So welcome back, fellow Lushes. Another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. Sunday afternoon edition. We are working on.
Is it a special edition?
No, it's not a special edition.
Can we take a moment and have a prayer before?
Sure.
Should I hit hands?
No, I don't do that. It's a little bit of a special edition. We got a request from a fellow podcaster who wanted to come on and do a little promoting and wanted it to happen quickly. So we made it fucking happen quickly.
That's what we do. We just make shit happen.
So we got Eddie Torres coming on. He is the.
Oh, I don't want to. Him? Cancel. I don't.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. What did you think it was Rogan today?
I thought it was Eddie Vedder.
Oh no.
I'll do anything for Eddie Vedder.
No, it's Eddie Torres. Cooler than Eddie Vedder. And you know what the nice thing about Eddie Torres is? You can understand every word that comes out of his mouth.
When he sings? No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
He's a speed heavy metal dude. Hear him sing?
Yeah, I can understand it.
I can.
I'm down with that kind of music.
He does fantastic. At his craft.
It is. It's definitely for a certain demographic. I've always struggled with the super speed metal. But there's some of it, you know. I've found myself, I get into a little bit of it here.
Yeah,
and there,
but you gotta use it. Some of those are better than others. Yeah. Obviously.
But my thing with music, there's not a lot of music that I don't really search out music anymore.
New stuff.
So I'm listening.
You feel you're stuck in your rut.
I'm listening to B.I.G. and fucking Motley Crue and.
You're stuck in your stuff, you know, and trust and love.
Wasn't it Icarus Bell?
So there's something new.
Did you see the story? Did you see Amber Campese in her Icarus Bell sweatshirt? Yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah. She's like, oh, I'll take better ones. I'm like, I don't care about that. I wasn't talking about the picture. I'm just it's cool you guys are working together.
Working together.
Awesome. So yeah, we've love connection. Thanks to us,
we're bringing the world together.
Much like Sarah Jury and Erica Lynn,
we're just bringing.
I know. Think of all the people we've brought together.
Bringing love amongst.
I think that camera slowly shifts. Like when Dave. All of a sudden, like I'm my elbow. Anyway, who cares?
Mark it, and where it is on the bar next to you, and then let's see you at the end of the show.
Right.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah. Who cares? If it moves, it moves. So, yeah, anyway.
You know what I was doing last Sunday?
Besides
recovering from St. Patrick's Day?
Recovering from St. Patrick's Day.
But I agreed to with my nephew?
No.
On my way back. He's in film school.
Yes.
So I made his film. So he sat out in the cold for 4 hours filming.
Well, you're in his film? Are you the lead?
I am a major part of his short for his class.
Do you have speaking parts?
I do.
Oh, God, it's got to be horrible. How did he get you to say the words correctly?
He wrote them down with big letters, and then he held it behind the camera with big signs. And
Did you have cue cards?
I didn't have cue cards.
Did you memorize your?
I did.
Really?
You did a great job.
Can you give me just one line? I don't want to spoil the whole plot, but can you give me just one line?
Oh, you really know your stuff
from your short.
There, that was a line.
No, I wasn't ready. Oh. Deliver it again. And
boy, you really know your stuff.
Yeah, that's about what I expected. Yeah, okay. Thanks. I'm glad.
You don't.
I don't know my stuff. I don't know what stuff I know.
I don't know if I can. Can I talk? This is pretty big stuff. Probably going to win awards.
I wouldn't give it away. I just wanted.
I played an iconic character within his short movie.
A fictional character or you're playing somebody who. You're playing Jim Morrison or.
Yeah, a fictional character.
A fictional character, but iconic. How can a fictional character in a short that's never come out already be iconic?
Well, I'm playing someone that's iconic, who's been in.
Oh, your character is iconic.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
He's been in. Short stories, he's been in books, he's been in radio, he's been in TV shows, he's been in movies, you name it,
he's been in it. Pause. All right, unpause. Eddie should be with us shortly.
Excellent.
So you play an iconic character in a short film, and you spent 4 hours in the freezing cold.
It was really cold that day.
Jelani Reese.
It was filmed all outside.
And are you
at a random gas station and didn't ask permission.
No,
the best part was just watching people drive in and let me doing double takes. And
yeah. Wow. What was I going to ask? I forgot what I was going to ask. Cause
here's my hint.
You play a failed singer.
You don't know that theme song.
No. I know it, but I don't know what it's from. I mean, I know. Yeah, I can't. I just can't think of what it's from. But we're not giving that away.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Everybody out in the world is smarter than him.
They are.
Well, we cannot keep our guests waiting. Pretty man waiting.
Sexy.
Sexy. Sexy Eddie.
There you go. Sexy Eddie.
There you go.
I'm sure he's not going to complain about that.
No, absolutely not.
So without further ado, Eddie Torres.
Let's go, buddy.
That's pretty rad.
Shit. Look at that.
Hello.
Howdy.
How we doing?
How do I sound?
Maybe a little louder.
Maybe a little louder.
Yeah, a little more volume, maybe.
He wants to hear.
How about now?
There we go. There we go. I'm a loud talker, so I hate to drown out guests, you know.
Oh, it's fine. And I'm trying out a new setup for being a guest because I'm usually the host. It's a different setup, and I'm just like, how do I do things? I'm old.
Sure. Yeah. Right. You're on the other side of it for once. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this weird for you to be on the other side? I've seen you've been on a couple podcasts, but.
No, it's not weird. It's just I'm trying to use this new interface so I can actually use this mic as opposed to just my laptop mic or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
sure.
So I can give somebody, you know, up the quality a little bit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's appreciated. Some of those mics that you get with guests are not the greatest. So,
dude, when they call like dudes with giant beards and they use the freaking head, like the long string one, and it's in the beard crinkling the entire time. Like, I hate you.
Right.
Stop.
Right. I know. I catch myself every once in a while doing this too. I'll rub into it. And then I'm like, oh, that's bad. That's bad.
But it's horrible.
But it feels so good at the time. You know, you got the beard. So yeah,
I do. I do.
All right. So we're joined by Eddie Torres, host of. And first question is RRBG. What does RRBG stand for? Because I went back and watched some and tried to find it. And
the Radical Ruth Bader Ginsburg podcast. Now. No, it stands for Rock and Roll Beer Guy.
Perfect. And that's what you are, a rock and roll beer guy. All right.
Drinking a freaking seltzer because I'm watching my figure.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
I can't believe you admitted to that. I would have just said that's like water or something. I got liquid death here.
Yeah, dude. It sucks. I don't like it. I'm just trying not to drink beer for this month because I'm going to, at the end of the month, there's a lot going on. I want to be tip top.
Yeah, you bet.
So you envision drinking a lot of beer next month?
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah. Way too much.
Like I'm a lot of yours. Back.
Yeah.
So so you are host of the RRBG podcast. You're also host of the Comedy Store Wrestling podcast with our buddy. We love Earl Skakel. He's been on and we absolutely love the dude.
What the fuck? Yeah. Good old inappropriate Earl.
Oh yes. He's got some stories.
That one was we laughed a lot on that one.
And also, as you were mentioning, a brewer of craft beer, and you've got a big beer release coming out here in the next week or so.
And have it right here.
Oh, beautiful. Can't wait to get into that.
Look at that. It's called Black Blood of the Earth. It's a barrel aged barley wine. Hitting a 11.5% ABV right now.
Whew. That's a cool ass can though.
Oh yeah. So the design was done by one of Barnett's buddies. So I guess I should say it's a collaboration beer with Josh Barnett.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, his buddy Solo Macello is the artist that did that, and we got to put my little logo on there.
All right.
That's really sweet.
The War Master logo on there. So now I'm stoked because I've been working on this since I started the podcast. Like originally the idea for the show was the rock and roll beer guy. I would talk to a musician and a brewer at the same time and try to get them to collaborate on a beer. And you know, I quickly learned that brewers are not the most conversational, a little socially awkward. I love all of them, but boy,
and let me brew my beer.
Dude, my goodness. Like I've told this story before, but Wayne Wombles, like the head brewer, he used to be the head brewer of Cigar City Brewing, and I was hanging out with him. I took him out to this big old beer dinner where people paid $60 to sit down and have dinner with him and drink beers. And as the dinner's going on, I see him just in a corner on a notepad, just fucking. I'm like, hey, bud, what's up? You want to go talk to the people that paid money to see you? He's like, I think I just figured out a new way to dry hop, dude. I'm sorry. I have to write this down. I'm like,
but wait, did he actually figure out a new way to dry hop?
Oh yeah, he had sketches and shit. Like he was fucking. They're mad scientists. You know what I mean? They're not really like. You don't take them to a dinner party to be the middler. You know.
Right. So was that the last time you charged people to talk to a brewer?
Yeah, I did a few more of those, but thankfully, you know, that's where I started honing my thing. Was like, you know what? They're busy. I'll host. You know, I'll be the guy who talks. I'll ask the guy questions, you know, and have him answer out loud, you know, quick. Hey, so what's the ABV again? Oh, okay, cool. That's what it was. You know, so just to get him involved somehow. I don't know. Okay. But either way, I on the pod, I just decided to stop. Like, I'll still talk to brewers as long as, you know, they have, you know, something to talk about. But a lot of them just, it doesn't make for good podcasting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's only so many you can do about brewing, and you're going to have all your questions kind of answered, right? And I mean,
upcoming stuff. And rock and roll guys have good stories.
Yes. Yeah. So, so funny enough, so the reason I shortened the name of the show to RRBG is because I had a few non-lushes like us, non-lushes that were upset that when people would Google their name, the word beer was right next to their name because of the podcast. I started getting people, you know, saying, sorry, can't come on the show. I don't want to be, you know,
really?
I'm like, well, fuck, I can't have that. I need a, can I curse on this thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Once
you
we're past,
fucking say anything you want.
Once we're past that 10-second mark, magic 10-second mark for YouTube, we say whatever we want.
Oh yeah. You can't get demonetized. Woo.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we've made $24 in the past month and a half, so we don't want to lose out on that.
Killing it, boys. Killing it. I wish I could quit my day job. That's all I can say.
Right.
It's hard to run two shows and have a day job. I'll tell you that, guys.
Well, I was just going to say, you've been doing this quite a while. So you've been in a chaotic schedule for quite some time now.
Yeah, I lost my mind sometime around 2016, I think it was.
Okay.
I think that's when I lost everything and then just kind of
everything.
Now, are both of your podcasts, do you put out episodes weekly on both of them?
So I was. Okay. But most recently, in the last month or so, I kind of burned out.
I can understand.
And my burnout equated to just our RBG is now biweekly.
Okay.
Unless I get a bunch of guests out of nowhere, you know what right. I mean? But I'm not doing, I was hunting guests, you know what sure. I mean? Like,
yeah,
every week. And now I'm like, man, I don't even have time. I don't have time, you know? Right. So I'm depending mostly on running into people at shows or, you know, when I run, hey man, you want a pot? Yes. Or let's do it this day. And you know, it's become very like out of control. So
sure.
I'm trying to see, I tried an intern. Have you guys tried an intern?
No, we've talked about it.
Right.
Good luck.
Okay. So you have.
I tried.
You mean like an intern for like helping schedule and stuff? Is that what?
Yeah, just stuff with that help with the social media posts. Because it is, you know, I'm also running both accounts social media wise. So anything that goes on the Comedy Store Wrestling Show, it's like John provides me with clips, which is a big help.
Okay.
That's one thing I spend a lot of time is like finding a clip, having to listen to myself, which I can't stand. So
I understand. I just spent the hour before I came over here editing reels for the episode we got coming out this week. So,
it's awful. We need to hire. We need teams, guys. This is how the big people do it.
I know.
We're there, but we'll get you.
We'll get there. We'll get you guys.
It's still a passion project for now. So,
that's it. I'm tired of the day job. That's what it is. I want the passion project to be the day job.
Exactly. That's true. Exactly.
So yeah, here we go. Let's maybe we can help each other out and keep her growing. That's what we love to do.
So let's rising tide lifts all boats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit of Black Blood of the Earth.
And yes,
it's a collaboration with Josh Barnett, who people will know from MMA. Doesn't he? He does some professional wrestling as well, doesn't he?
Yes. So he's wrestled in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's done a bunch of stuff in Japan, and then also he wrestles on the Bloodsport event, mm-hmm. which he puts on.
Okay.
So they collaborate with GCW, which is a Game Changer Wrestling. They have a thing called the GCW Collective, which includes Josh's Bloodsport.
Okay.
But the thing with Bloodsport, it's like an interesting mix of MMA and pro wrestling. So it's harder hitting. There's no ropes. They don't get to do all the, you know, crazy maneuvers and stuff. There's no high flying. It's all on the ground, catch wrestling, kind of, you know, chain wrestling, old school style.
Sure.
A lot of blood, obviously, with the name. And that's why Black Blood is like perfect. So we're launching the beer at Bloodsport 9, which is happening March 30th.
Okay.
Yes, March 30th.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. And how did you get involved with Barnett for the collab to begin with?
It's crazy how it's all connected. So I met the guitar player from Killswitch Engage at Cigar City Brewing when I was working there. And I pitched him a collaboration out of nowhere. I'm like, hey, well, how about a Cigar City Killswitch beer? And he was like, yeah, of course. And then the owner of the brewery was a good friend. So I just told him, hey, this is a passion project. Can we just do this? And we did it. And that led to me, you know, becoming friends with Adam D and going to shows, hanging out backstage. And then backstage, I ran into Josh Barnett at one of those shows. Became friends with him, just shooting the shit, talking MMA and metal. And then, you know, little by little, we would keep running into each other at different shows now. And then, you know, eventually it was like, hey, man, you know, you want to go grab a bite and like talk? And so we did the podcast. And then, you know, just since then, we've been friends now for, I don't know, 5-6 years. I don't even know the number. And but we've been working on this beer for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Yeah. Like we went to Taps Brewing 2 years ago to kind of discuss the collaboration or whatever. And when we finally established what we wanted, I was like, we need to age it in your bourbon barrels, because he has a bourbon.
Okay.
The War Master bourbon that he put out through Sespa Creek. So he had barrels. I mean, we should put the beer in those barrels and age it for like a year or so, see what happens. And it took a little longer. We ran into, you know, bumps on the road, but the beer was in the barrels a little bit longer than we had originally anticipated. But all it did was just add more bourbon and barrel flavor to the beer.
Sure. Now I got a question. I love craft beer, but I've never really understood what is a barley wine, and how does, I mean, How are you calling a barley wine a beer? I don't.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know why it's called a barley wine.
Like okay.
Why they use the word wine instead of beer. But a barley wine is almost a stout. But okay. the grains aren't as roasted. They aren't as dark. There's also a lot more of the sugars involved. So it's a little bit sweeter, but it's still super potent. A lot of people love, craft beer nerds love barley wines. Like that's their peak right there between sure. that and sours, you know? Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did that come on? I didn't mean that.
No, I like the way they taste as an, hey, let me try that. Wow, that's sour. Cool. And then we just move on. Like,
okay.
If I drink a whole sour, my tummy starts rumbling. And I get all, you know, gassy and
weird. Yeah.
Watch out, everybody around me. But whatever.
But yeah, that's pretty much it's a thicker beer, usually around 7 or 8%. The barrel aging made it higher for us, so it's at 11.5. So that my concern is with people, since we're launching this at Bloodsport, people are going to be at this live event chugging 11.5% beer.
Yeah, you might
know, the minute you said it, I thought that
you might have a few guys passed out in the front row.
Couple passed out people, a couple people puking, a couple people fist fighting.
Right.
I mean, this is in Southern California, you know. Ooh. And there's already people fist fighting nearby.
Sure.
So
shit.
So going into it, knowing it's going to go into the bourbon barrels, what's the process of going into the beer prior to that? Like the taste of the beer prior to that.
The barley wines are, they have notes of like dates and caramel and like just brown sugar, maybe a little bit of like molasses vibe to it.
Yeah.
But when it got into the barrels with the smoke of the oak, I think it's oak barrels. So smoky oak and a little bit more caramel, some leather even, if you will, like, because you get those leather notes from good bourbons.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And it
did
just
you try
great...
it prior to going into the barrels?
Oh, yeah. We drank it.
I mean,
we drank it. It was brewed. We drank it, and it was great. And then we put it into barrels, and then we waited like about a year in, or we went and saw the barrels, you know, went to go taste them. They, you know, do the thing where they drill it, and they get a little bit of a little squirt out of the barrel, and they put a nail back in. So we tested all the barrels, and we came up, you know, we were trying to pick, which one tastes the best? And we're like, why don't we just blend it all, see what all of the barrels, they're all going to have a distinct
right.
Because each barrel is different, and they're not all super like one or two. We actually lost one of the barrels because it leaked and it got infected. So stuff like that happens. So yeah. It's all, but we blended it all. It tasted great, and then we went back before canning it. We tasted it again, and we actually did a little bit of back blending where they add a little bit. They blend it with a little more beer. And we blended it with a little bit of stout just to give it more body too, because it had spent so much time in the barrel that it started getting kind of like that whiskey thinness and not beer body. So we blended a little stout in there, and it's a great concoction. It's delicious.
How fun though is that whole process? That had been just amazing.
I'm not going to get into the details of the bumps in the road that I told you about.
Yeah.
That process sucked.
Sure. Bumps always suck. But
the whole process, I mean, dude, this isn't my first. So although this is going to be the first beer in the RRBG brew series, and I was vague with the name on purpose. I didn't say beer series because of what happened with the RRBG thing. You know?
Sure. Absolutely.
Let me say brew because what if I can make coffee or a tea or something with somebody who's non-alcoholic, you know what I mean? I don't want
to keep it vague. Sure.
Keep the doors open.
Yep.
So anyway, even though this is the first official RRBG series beer, I've done a few other projects which are up here.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This one was with Cosmic Eye Beer. It was a collaboration that they did with me. for this Vox and Hops Brutal North American tour. It was they wanted to make a 12 pack of collaboration beers.
Okay.
And my buddy Matt over there from the Vox and Hops podcast, he invited me to be a part of the project. It's fucking beautiful. If you look at the can,
yeah, it is. That's cool can.
And they made t-shirts with like our names on the back. It was kind of, it was like a tour, you know. It was a pretty interesting project. So I did that. And then this one here is from Iron Triangle. It was for a wrestling show that we did at the brewery. We called it Powerbomb IPA.
Okay.
I had Jeff Cobb here, who's, I think, wrestling Kenny Omega next Wednesday.
Okay.
He was wrestling Luke Hawks over here. Had them both sign the can just to keep it as a little thingy.
Nice. You know?
And then finally over here, I'm not going to pull it down, but there's the Killswitch beer. Actually, might as well show you the Killswitch beer, yeah? We were talking about the Killswitch beer. There's the bottle.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that is cool. And that's the one that you won medals with, silver?
No, this is just the collaboration with Killswitch. The silver medal is right here, actually.
Keep them coming. They won with the I see the medal. That's nice.
Yeah, this was Guayabera from Cigar City Brewing. I sat down and came up with this idea with Wayne Wombles one day, and then we were trying to call it Libertad because I wanted it to be like a Cuban theme.
Okay.
But apparently copyright goes in, it translates. So Libertad translates to freedom, and there's a freedom ale already. So we can't take that name.
Boy.
Or Liberty ale. Yeah. And then Liberty also was taken. So we were just like, all right, well, we'll call it something else. And then Joey Redner, the owner, came up with Guayabera, which is that shirt that the guy is wearing. It's got those four pockets. I'm sure you've seen it around in like movies.
Oh, yeah.
So. Okay. We called it, that was supposed to be me on the can, but it doesn't really look like me at all. No.
Yeah.
But anyway, they made a shit ton of money off of that. But since I created it under their at the brewery,
yeah.
I couldn't stake my claim like I'm doing with the Barnett beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It belongs to Cigar City Brewing.
Sure.
But you know, Joey sent me one of these, which is the silver.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Proud.
Some brewers say it's meaningless.
What?
Yeah, some brewers just don't. I think they're just maybe bitter that they never won one.
I was going to say, yeah. Let me guess. Most of those are brewers who don't have
that's
one.
That's exactly hell yeah, you should be proud of that. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, I've just been trying to keep doing that. I've been trying to do this for a long time, 6 years, 7 years now. So I'm glad that it's finally taking shape. Got the first beer in the series.
Yeah.
There's going to be more to come. I'm going to include comedians. I'm going to include bands. And I'm going to include, you know, any MMA or wrestlers that want beer. So I'm putting it out there, universe. Send me some clients.
That's awesome. So where did the love of brewing start? When did you brew your first ever beer?
Oh, 2012, maybe 2011. I was actually on tour with my band. I was a singer in the band Dissever.
Okay.
We did that for 10 years. And I, you know, on the road, we discovered cool, unique local beers that we weren't getting in Florida. Florida was really, really behind in the times when it came to the craft beer scene. Like LA has been in it forever, but like Florida, it was Corona, Heineken, Beck's, you know, like that was pretty much it. And, we started seeing a couple of them trickle in, like Victory, Golden Monkey, and, you know, one of the big ones was Cigar City's Hialeah. We had it in Tampa, and we were all like, what the fuck is this? This is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Right.
I was out to dinner with my now wife, we were dating back then, and I saw a beer rep at the restaurant we were at, just sitting at the bar and, like, wearing beer gear, and he had a laptop and all this shit. So I walked up. I'm like, hey, man, what do you do? He's like... He's like, oh, I'm a beer rep. I go from bar to bar and I talk about beer. I'm like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want that job.
That sounds ideal.
He gave me his business card. And this is how crazy my life usually works out. That I got his job.
Oh.
He got fired and the route opened up and they gave it to me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I feel kind of bad. I feel like I manifested that.
Well, I'm sure he did something.
Yeah, probably.
Well, we'll go with that. We can sleep at night. We'll just say he did something bad.
Yeah, but no. So when the guy gave me the card, though, at first it was just to volunteer at beer festivals.
Okay.
Okay.
He was like, "Look, we're going to be pouring beer at this, you know, park. Come by, help us out, and you get some free beer and food out of it." I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds like a good time." So I went over there, poured beer with them, and he saw, I guess, like I was like naturally good at talking to people and getting sure. them to talk about, I don't know what it is. I didn't take any classes or anything. It was just kind of like, "Hey man, this is delicious. You should try it, blah, blah, blah." But they hired me. And then from there, I just, you know, when I did this, that was with a distribution company. So I did that for 2 years, which it's good to learn. There's two different sides of the business there. And yeah, it's right. good to learn the distribution side as opposed to being on the, what they call the supplier side, which is the people with the brewery.
Sure. Yep.
So I went from distributor to Cigar City. They hired me to be their brewery rep, which is a huge step up in that world when you're doing that money wise. And it started feeling like I was a rock star because they would fly me out to do big festivals all across the country. Like they'd send me to JABF or Extreme Beer Fest in Boston or Craft Brewers Conference out in Oregon. And it's like I was flying a couple times, not a couple times a month, but like every month at least once somewhere.
Wow.
Somewhere.
Or driving. Like I drove to Richmond, Virginia in the company van with a bunch of beer, a bunch of kegs. And they sent me out there with a couple of lunatics from Cigar City, friends of mine that worked there too, but they're bananas.
Wait, were the kegs gone before you got to the brewery?
I'll just say that at one point at like 4 a.m. when I was trying to get to my room, the guy didn't want to let me in the room. And it wasn't because of me acting up. It was him like going crazy, like, "I'm running to the room." I don't know if he wanted to go smoke crack or something real quick before I got in there. like what's going on, man?
It
felt good to, you know, when I would do Extreme Beer Fest, it was a lot of work because I was standing there, and we were pretty popular at the time, Cigar City, and we had this beer called Hunapu, which is an imperial stout that only comes out once a year. And we had brought some of that, and there was a line of 400 or 500 people.
Wow. Holy shit.
And it's just me with two pitchers of Hunapu. And they're these people are like, and like pushing sample glasses in front of me. I'm just pouring a little bit here, a little bit. And I can only give them 1 ounce. And
right.
They have security guards walking around like, "Hey, I see it's more than an ounce.
2 ounces.
Like, yeah. Wow. What are you doing? Like, take it back. So I'm there losing my mind, pouring all this beer. And one of the staff members of the fest walks in. "Hey, man, are you okay?" I'm like, "Absolutely not." I'm like, "I don't know if you realize that there's 400 people in front of me and I'm here by myself." And I was extremely hungover because obviously.
You know, obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Pounding headache. I'm just like losing, like just everything's vibrating. Like, The staff send me an old dude with no teeth.
Oh.
And he gets in there and he's like, "What do I do?" I'm like, "Just fucking grab this pitcher, fill it up with this beer and put it back on the table. All right.
As fast as you can.
And I'm like, "All right, cool." And I kept doing that, just fucking chugging along. And then I look over, I hear like a commotion. I hear people screaming and I look over, I'm like, "What the fuck?" And it's the old dude pounding the beer from the pitcher, like, "Oh," I'm like, "No, what are you doing? And I took the pitcher from him, like, "Get the fuck out of here. What are you, God?" So yeah, that's where my passion for beer came from, just years of that nonsense.
Nonsense.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That old guy.
I've been to the Great American Beer Festival comes to Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I was to one of them, probably, I don't know, 12 years ago or something like that. And I just know, like, by 2 or 3 hours in, I was so fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're just walking around grabbing an ounce at a time, and you're like, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, you're like, "Oh, I'm not fine."
No. Like, you just had 37 ounces of, like, all different kinds of alcohol levels and sugars. Right, right. And
that's a mixture, like, there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it goes back to, you know, you got the job because it sounds like you're passionate about beer. And you're good at talking about your passion about the beer. And you had to have sounded like you knew what you're talking about. So, at the time, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, I got into it, man. I got real into it. I took tests. I'm certified. Like, I have paperwork.
Nice.
I'm a real beer guy.
A brewologist.
It's no, there's a Cicerone program that they have that you do tests, and there's like a master level where like you do blindfold, like you taste the grains and you go, yes, that's from the northeastern region of it's like, get the fuck out of here. I don't need to know that much. You know, like, I'm not that nerdy. I'll have enough to, like, you know, get me a job, you know, and get, but yeah, there's paperwork and certificates and obviously, you know, medals.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's good, man.
You had mentioned about getting the collaborations going and the thought. So when somebody, you want to collaborate some people, so what are you thinking? A flavor? You're trying to think of a flavor to collaborate them, or a name, or where does it start?
It starts mostly for me with just kind of overall vibe of the person. Like, for me, obviously, a person like Josh Barnett, the War Master, an MMA guy who goes by the name The War Master.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's always posting metal things. Like, he's a big metalhead, you know, the leather jackets and the whole thing. I thought, you know, obviously we have to do a metal beer, something dark, something, a stout or a barley wine or something. Yeah. Like, maybe a porter. And he was in agreement. He was like, absolutely. So, you know, but like, if I were to do a beer with a, like, let's say the band Bayside or something, I would want to do like a Pilsner, something refreshing, light, something like, okay, for the live show, you know, people can pound it at the show. Yeah. It feels good. It's a good, happy feeling, you know, and I just go from there. Then once we establish like the type of beer, then I can start thinking about flavor profiles or like, okay, well,
okay,
you know, what would I want to drink? That's usually what I go into it with. Like, what would I drink?
Okay. Because
I like IPAs, but I don't like them when they go crazy, you know, with the super, super hoppy. And it's like, you feel the enamel breaking in your teeth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. I don't need that much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I am not an IPA drinker. No. And it feels like a big majority of the craft brew market is IPAs. And, you know, I have a Hefeweizen here and I love that, you know, I love the stouts and stuff, but it seems like it gets harder and harder to find the other things on, because so many people are doing so many different IPAs.
It's because it sells, dude. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, like, you'll see breweries, like big breweries, like AleSmith, change the branding on their cans to where all it says, like, it's just a green can and it says IPA in giant bold letters. You don't even see the logo of the brewery. It's like super small in the back. They don't care about anything. They just like, hey, this is an IPA, because they know most common drinkers are just going to walk in like, I want an IPA. Oh, look, IPA. And just take it and walk it and buy it.
How did that happen, though? Did the taste buds of the world change or something? Cause they weren't that big 10 years ago.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know what it is? I'll attribute it to cannabis. The more use of cannabis, or, you know, legalization in certain states or whatnot, cannabis has become more and more popular, and that flavor is similar. I mean, they're cousins. Hops and cannabis are cousins. So there's a lot of that weed-ish flavor in an IPA.
So you'll be drinking IPA?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I like my weed a lot better than I like the IPA.
You just haven't had the right one, man. Have you had
right,
it all?
Man,
weed?
Right, man.
But like, if you can keep the IBUs in an IPA under like 40, I'll give it a try.
So I'll have a suggestion for you then. So what I'm drinking these days is actually Hoppy Pilsners.
Okay.
And that is it's a lager, it's a Pilsner, but they throw a little bit of hops in it, and it's not super aggressive. The IBUs are low, and you get like a, you know, 5% ABV. You could chug it pretty, because it's a lager, so you could chug it. That's what I've been into lately. And most brewers, that's what happens. You know, we go through this like, let's try the craziest thing, because you want to learn and experiment and see how far you can push flavors and ideas. And like, what if we put pancakes in it? You know, like, that's what's been going on.
Right.
With a lot of, I'm good with shit like that in a stout.
Yeah.
A lot of these hype breweries that exist right now they're doing it to IPAs. They're making them smoothies with like Cinnamon Toast Crunch smoothie IPA. I'm like, you don't want an IPA. You don't even want a beer. You want a milkshake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go get a milkshake.
Don't fucking say yeah over there, Mr. I will hire you'd buy those every day of the week.
Not IPAs.
No,
I will.
IPA.
No, I will buy like your chocolate peanut butter stouts, of course.
Yes.
That I will do.
But not
that makes sense to me.
That IPA that we just had here that you had gotten from Stone Arch, that was like a strawberry smoothie fucking IPA. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
It's filled with milk sugar, dude. It's just it's so gross.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, I also think other things are gross that people love. So it's just an opinion. Don't get mad.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the thing. No. I mean, obviously, no offense to the IPAs because they're obviously doing very well.
Right.
It's kind of like saying you hate Harry Styles or something. I mean, good on you, but the guy's a billionaire. So,
Or like Nickelback. People are like, God, Nickelback sucks. Yeah. They're still selling millions of records.
Right. Right. So
this is a question, but the minute we were talking and you brought it up. But so NSYNC comes to you and says, I want to collab on a beer. What do you vibe you get and what would you sell them?
The first thing I would do is hide my boner.
All right.
Oh, my Wrong. God. Okay, really?
Think the question.
Dude, absolutely. And I would do something fruity, probably, you know, for the female fans.
There you go. Right.
Not for them. I'm not talking shit.
Yeah, no.
But there's
only one of them. Only one of them is fruity.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not homophobic.
But
for the ladies, I'll make some kind of fruited light sour, or maybe like, I don't know, a wheat ale with strawberries or some shit like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that brings up a good question. So when you go into a collab, are you making it more for the person you're collabing with or for the fans of the people you're collabing with? Because what if you go to Josh Barnett and say, I want to make this stout, this good, and he's like, you know, I really like these fruity.
I'll do what he says. I'm not going to argue with Josh Barnett.
Well, true. Good point. Good point.
That dude will rip my arm off. I think, I kind of had that discussion with him. So I try to please the person that's doing the collaboration. But it depends on where they want to take this. If they're just doing this just to be like, ha, I made a beer and then just buy. But if they want to make a business out of this, then you got to start thinking about the consumer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I talked to Josh about this. Like, look, it's great that we did this killer barley wine punch in the face, 11.5%. Amazing. However, I think the people at your show at Bloodsport are going to want some chuggable beer, some light lager, something 5%. They could have four or five of them. You can't have four or five of these. You're going to die.
No.
So, so I told them that maybe, you know, depending on how well this goes, for the launch, if we sell all the beers, then we got to, you know, now we can talk. Let's go make more. Let's go make a lager too. Let's make a series of beers, you know?
Okay. Cool. Well, that is the end result, right? A series of beers and keep going.
Keep it going, man. Keep it going and try and grow it and bigger names, bigger brands. And that's just, you know, I have a lot of irons in the fire. So that's just one of the main things that I've been working on for years to get it off the ground. So, you know, if it doesn't work, that's fine. I still got a bunch of other shit to do.
Yeah. And let's talk about one of them. Cause I want to talk about that, the dynamics of getting a wrestling ring inside the Comedy Store. Because you've got the wrestling events coming up at the Comedy Store here.
Okay, so we're not going to have a ring in there yet.
Okay.
We have had it before. We had it in there for Storecade a few years back before the pandemic. And that was a logistical nightmare because you also got to not, it's not only that, you got to consider one thing that people don't think about. Like, the Comedy Store depends on sales of the seats.
Right.
And if we're removing
all of
those seats, the seats to fit a ring in there, you're losing, you know, income there for to keep the lights on. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So that was one logistical nightmare. But then once we got it in there, we also noticed like the ring was pressed up against the main stage to the point. And the main stage at the Comedy Store has kind of a half circle.
Okay.
In the front. And that thing was bending. And I was like, whoa. And I know that once those big guys get in there and start slamming back and forth, that stuff is going to move.
Yeah.
And it's going to break the ring. Like, we had to shove towels in between the stage and like stack it up so that it wouldn't be so bad. It was still kind of crazy looking. We also didn't, they forgot to bring a bell So I'm like running through the kitchen. I'm like, do we have any large pots? A giant metal spoon? Anything? Like, what are we? Something. I need something that sounds like a bell. We ended up finding one of those little like champagne buckets.
Yeah.
And
a
ladle. And I was like, gong, gong. Like, all right, here we go, bell.
You got to improvise. You got to improvise.
These are the best part of the stories,
right?
Little shit like that. Oh, I love
it. It was nuts. And then Tony Hinchcliffe was the one that kind of put it all together with his, he had the Store Horseman that used to do a podcast at the Comedy Store before our show was a thing. He was the one, Eddie, I need you to like talk to the Lucha Brothers. There's a tag team of guys called the Lucha Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
And they don't speak English very well. They say some things, but I had to be like the translator for the day. I'm running around back. You guys okay? You need anything? They're like, no, well, yeah, water. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like running around and talking to people. Like, I have to go do things for those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun night. We want to eventually put a wrestling ring in the Comedy Store again. We're going to call it Store Is War. That is our Twitter handle right now for the show. We want to put a ring in there and do the same thing, do comedy mixed with some real wrestling, the local guys that are, you know, doing stuff on TV, obviously. But
yeah,
we got some big stuff in the works. Like those events that you mentioned, we have March 29th, Not Sam-a-Mania. So Sam Roberts is a famous broadcaster. He has a show in New York with Jim Norton, I believe. Okay. And he's worked with WWE many times where he's been on like their pre-show or like interviewing talent and whatnot. So he has a relationship with WWE, and he's going to be bringing in a lot of WWE talent for that show. So like Baron Corbin and Medusa and X-Pac is going to be there. Dolph Ziggler. So they're all going to be in there, and we're also working with WWE on a few other things behind the scenes. So I'm hoping to be out at WrestleMania here when it's in LA, promoting, doing interviews and doing things. And then if not, we'll be at the Comedy Store for that Not Sam-a-Mania thing. And then the next day we're doing Hunkamania with Dolph Ziggler and his brother Ryan Nemeth doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And they bring some of their wrestling friends to try comedy. Like last time they brought William Morrissey, who used to be Big Cass in WWE, and 7 foot tall fucking monster human being. And I wasn't, you know, and that's on me for being a discriminate, but I was like, this is not gonna go well, you know what I mean? Like, this is just some big dude, like, you know, like, have you ever thrown somebody? Isn't that funny, huh? Like, that's what I was expecting, you know. But the dude was on point and like so good on the mic, and hilarious stories, like talking about self-deprecating, like talking about how hard it is to pee in a normal toilet when you're that tall, and getting piss splashes everywhere. And like, all right, that's funny shit. That's good.
It is. You don't think about it, but yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you always hear. Like, you know, make it personal. That's the best way to make comedy. You know, if you're not big in comedy, just make it personal, and you'll make some people laugh anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, that's my favorite kind of humor, is like self-depreciating.
Yeah.
That's the angle I take most of the time.
How did you where's your connection to the Comedy Store? How did you get started there?
Oh wow. Well, yeah, that's a good one. So
you kind of have the best of every world. It seems like you're in all the great ones, but go ahead.
It's the thing. Awesome. I like, you know, when I like something, I pursue it.
Yeah.
Like a passion, like it's going to eat me alive if I'm not a part of it. And it's kind of sucks because you spread yourself too thin. Like now I'm in so many different worlds that it's just like, oh fuck. So comedy, I've always been a fan of comedy ever since I was little, you know, George Carlin. That's one good thing my dad did, was show me George Carlin.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, stand-up comedy in general. There's an old Cuban guy that we used to listen to a lot. His name was Álvarez Heves, which crazy, crazy, you know, vulgar. And I was like six, you know, like listening to this craziness.
Bless your dad for showing you the good stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
That didn't affect me at all.
Anyway, it's always been a passion, but sorry. When I moved from Miami to LA here, the first place we went to was the Comedy Store, because I've heard so many stories, and like, and I'm not saying that, you know, to be funny, like, we went We arrived from the airport and went to the Comedy Store because we didn't have the keys to our place yet.
Perfect.
Well, fuck it, let's just go to the Comedy Store.
Perfect. Yeah.
So we watched a show there, met some people, but ultimately it came down to Joey Diaz. Joey
Nominal.
And Joey and I are from the same block in New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's awesome.
He knows my grandfather and my dad. He knows, I mean, my grandfather's attorney was Joey's attorney, Sam DeLuca.
Oh, and wow. So, love the last name DeLuca.
Yeah. So I hit him up. I, you know, hit him like direct message on like Facebook. I'm like, hey, I kind of like explained, like, you know, I'm from this block in New Jersey and da, 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 da. And here's some pictures as proof, you know, because yeah. some people are weird.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
So I sent him some proof and I didn't ask for anything. It was just kind of like, I just think this is cool. You know, love that what you're doing. Great. And then he's like, come out to the Comedy Store. I'm like,
cocksucker. There had to be a cocksucker.
Of course. Come out to the Comedy Store, cocksucker. So I went, I met up with him and he walked me in. Like I walked into the hallway and he was right there. He's like, hey, come here. Gave me a hug and a giant bag of weed. He's like, here. I'm like, okay. I just put that in my pocket. Put the bag of weed in my pocket and he like grabs me. He's like, let's go to the kitchen. Let's get you a drink. I'm like, yeah. Gets me a drink. And then we took some pictures with some people and he started showing me around and like introducing me to the like the managers and like this Eddie's good people. I'm like, okay, cool. All right. And that was that. And I was
wow,
like, oh, what a magical experience.
No, you know? Shit. I was just thinking, like, that's amazing.
Right?
Yeah. And then I started listening to the Store Horsemen, the Tony Hinchcliffe's wrestling show.
Okay.
And then like I started hitting them up like, hey, guys, you know, can I come talk to you guys at the store? Like, I want to see the show. Like, what's the deal? Or, you know, and they were doing like live showings of like WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something like that. They would any of the pay-per-views, they would do it at the Belly Room.
Okay.
So I started hanging out with them. Johnny Scordis specifically was one of the Store Horsemen. I invited him to do a Bloodsport viewing with me that I was doing at Gorilla Mall in Alhambra. And by the way, shout out to them. They have a War Master burger that Josh and I created. Mm. And it's now available at Gorilla Mall in Alhambra. If you guys are watching this and are hungry for a ridiculous burger that's going to hurt your stomach. It's got jalapeno nice. Bacon and fried Ooh. Pickles and cream oh. cheese.
Sounds delicious.
It's amazing, but it hurts.
Going in or going out or both?
Both. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, Johnny took me back to the store again and I just started going I met Tony and Tony was like, yeah, we do Kill Tony on Mondays, you should come out, hang out Monday nights every Monday. And I was living in Long Beach at the time, so it was like a 45-minute drive each way.
Worth it.
And it was worth it because yeah. but like I'd be out at the Comedy Store and like, oh, I watch the show and then Tony sees me and he's like, hey, come here. And we're going to smoke. I'm like, yeah, let's go smoke. We'll go to the back, smoke. And it's like now 3 a.m. and I'm high as shit and drunk. And I'm like, well, now I got to drive to Long Beach.
Yeah, normal Monday night, right?
Yeah, on a Monday, you know. But yeah, started going. I was there at every episode of Kill Tony during the pandemic when there was an empty Comedy Store.
Yeah, there, yeah.
I was the one guy you heard in the back laughing and clapping. it was me and Gino from Speedweed, because we would just get high and sit. It was just me and him and his girlfriend just laughing in the background.
Kill Tony is the, no offense to anybody else's, the greatest podcast on earth. It is.
I don't even think it's a podcast. Right. I don't treat it as a podcast. It's right. a show.
Like, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And it's such just a good show.
It is.
So good.
Yeah.
There's nothing like you know, seeing people bomb. It's
Well, I'm not gonna lie, we have had at least one, maybe two people that I found specifically from Kill Tony, comedians that I'll hit up and have them on the podcast. So
who was that? Who have you had?
We had Jonah Campos, who was the one. She was at Skankfest and she was all scared on stage and shaking really badly.
Oh,
and
okay,
it's hilarious.
Yeah. So her episode is coming up, and I'm trying to think. Did we have? She might be the only one. From Kill Tony. I've tried a few other ones,
You should get William Montgomery on.
I would love to get, I should hook. He's probably too big for us at this point, so.
He's too big for me now, apparently. Fuck. He and I did a podcast. he and I did a podcast during the pandemic. We hung out in the roof of his building, which was like, it had weed plants on the roof.
Oh, nice.
And we were just drinking and smoking for 4 hours.
Okay.
And it was 4 hours of just riffing, like nonsense. I kept trying to do a question or like, hey, maybe I should leave because like my podcast is only an hour long and we're on the third hour. And, you know, we just kept going and going. And he wanted to keep going. I'm just like, no, I'm leaving.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he talks enough about it. Was he on cocaine at the time? Was he just nonstop?
Oh, yeah. Cocaine and drinking.
Yeah. I mean, he's clean. He's clean now. So
he looks great. He's got abs.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
But he's having fun. He was having fun, obviously.
Dude, it was great. It was a look. I had a blast. I'm talking shit like I didn't have fun there for 4 hours. But
no,
the one person that we've talked to and he told us he would do it, but he only does them live, who I really would love to have is David Lucas. Dude is just fantastic. So, although I'd be afraid because I think it would just be an hour of him making fun of us, but that would be okay.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah, that'll be it.
We'd be easy to make fun of, so it'd be perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, you have had a decent amount. I mean, you had Mark Normand on as well, who I mean, one of the best.
Marky Mark. I was trying to get him to do a beer with me, and I think he got scared.
Oh really? now he's got his whiskey.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what happened. I think that you know, he was working on that, trying to get that done first, you know.
Sure.
But hey, there we go. Now another chance. You have your own whiskey. Give me those barrels. Let's make a beer.
There you go. Right.
A comedy beer.
That's perfect.
There aren't too many comedy beers out there.
No. So I'm wearing this hat right now because I was on the Adam Carolla show because the brewery I was working at, the one that did the this thing, the Bumps and Bruises one. We also did the Adam Carolla beer for a while.
Oh, he's got one? Okay.
Yeah, he has a beer, but you know it. It didn't really work out. The brewery that I was at closed down.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It was a drug front, I'm sure. You know, like
you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I mean, I was working there, right? So
I mean, it's not until you get caught.
Right. I never got caught. They shut down, I walked away. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do anything.
No.
They were doing the Anna Carolla thing, so they invited me on the show. It was really, that was like one of the big I'm like, oh shit, like I'm on Adam Carolla's.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
What's happening right now? I took a bunch of pictures. Like, is this real? And then on the way out, the guy's like, here, have a hat. I'm like, yeah, I'll wear it every day.
I will never take this off. I'm going to shower in this thing.
So when was that? Because I see clips from Adam and I'll watch.
That was a while back, dude.
Okay. So I'll look for it. That's cool.
Back. Yeah. We did.
Okay.
The beer, he had what they called the after show, after drinks with Carolla. I don't know. It's something like that.
That did go away now that you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Either way.
But, more comedy beers. That'd be good. Mark Normand would be a good one. You know, Andrew Santino should get a beer, I think. Even though he doesn't like beer, he likes bourbon and whiskey. But,
right. Yeah.
Again, give me those.
He's still
barrels.
A drinker. Yeah. Yeah. He's a, yeah. The ones who, yeah, you got, what about Kreischer? Why does Kreischer not have his own beer?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that feels like a match made in heaven. Did you see, we're in Wisconsin.
Why doesn't Cocktails, Dimples, and the Beard have a beer?
There you go.
There you go.
We're in Wisconsin, and Bert was just here on Saturday or Friday night or Saturday night. He played in Oshkosh, and did you see he was at Pete's Garage after?
I did not. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bert's operating on a whole new level, dude. Like he's met me 4 different times.
Yeah,
we have pictures every time. We've hung out for like 40 minutes, 50, like maybe an hour, drinking, talking. Every time he sees me, hey buddy, Brett or Bert, sorry, Bert. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
By the third time, by the fourth time, it's like, come on, like
come on,
bro.
I can't imagine the amount of people that go through his life at this point with how much he's out and you know, like he's.
It's crazy. Starting to happen to me, and I don't even, I'm nowhere near their level, you know what I mean? But
sure,
I'm getting old and all the drinking and the brain damage I've sustained over the years, you know, it's starting to happen though. I'll see people, they'll come up to me and like, I detect that we've met, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's there.
You can kind of see that they're like, hey, don't you
remember me? The way they're talking to me is way too comfortable, you know, right. Like, no, we've met, shit. And I just go with it for a while and, you know, try
so you
my
got
best.
It, right. Yeah,
you gotta move on.
Because I mean, I don't know what's worse, finding out later on, like if mid conversation, then you find out that I fumbled because I just answered something wrong, or you know what I mean, or called them some other name, like
right.
yeah, and or bring up somebody else that they have no idea who that person is. Like, you remember that time with John, right? It's like, no, who's John? Mm-hmm. Like, oh shit.
And that, I guess my guess is wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. I don't know. I'm leaning into the, I don't remember, dude. What's your name? You know, like.
Right. Let's just get back there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people should, you can spark at something. Yeah.
People should not be offended by that, because I could meet people 10 times and I cannot remember names. I could remember details of stories you told me, but I'm not going to remember your name. It's just in and out. Like, yeah.
It only hurts. It hurts the big fans, you know, the Punisher fans, the ones that are, you know, standing in the back, kind of waiting for the opportunity. And then they finally find a moment to jump in and ask, or, you know, hey man, you know, love your work. Could you sign this for me? And then they're like, you'll see them like, yeah, you know, we met like 7 months ago at the Sting and you know, you waved at me. And I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then let's use this. And I do want to talk to you a little bit about your bands, because that's probably where a lot of the people recognize you from, is your bands. And I did want to ask the Dissever.
Yes.
Great Dissever. Band. Now, are you touring? You guys still going?
No. Unfortunately, we are currently on a hiatus.
Okay. Because I saw where you would like, I didn't know if it was stop touring for sure, but you still made records, or what the scoop was. So
yeah. So we had a record in the books. We actually still have a record written and pre-pro recorded. Where pre-pro is just like, it's in a garage. It sounds like shit. So we want to go and record it at a studio where it sounds good. We have a whole album in pre-production that we never put out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Because what happened is our bass player moved out of Florida. We had like a big hurrah, like a final farewell show. And it was great. But when he moved, then my drummer moved, and then I moved, and we all just kind of split off, and everybody started having kids. I don't have any kids, but everybody else got kids.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a distant, like, oh, that was cool what we did. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Every once in a while we communicate, we're like, man, we wrote some crazy songs, and you know, we still have some.
Like,
I would love to go to a studio and do those.
Right. Right.
But yeah, well, eventually, I think eventually maybe, you know, once everybody's got enough money to like go lavish with it, where we'll just fly out somewhere all together and hotels and all that, we'll maybe do it.
Yeah.
But there's another band that I'm in called Vultures or Wolves. I play bass in that one, and I do low growls and stuff. That one is still kind of active. We're you know, we put out an EP a couple of years ago before the pandemic. We were gonna tour, but then pandemic. And then we keep in communication. I just saw George in Seattle. We went out there to go watch a band that reunited after 20 years, Botch, one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
And we flew out there and we talked about it. I'm like, yeah, we got some riffs. So we're going to keep writing and eventually hopefully do some shows. But, you know, with Comedy Store Wrestling and the RBG thing, it's like there's so much going on, dude. It's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard
for sure.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I'm like, how do you do that between touring with Vultures with Wolves, because I thought they were still active, and I wasn't sure if you were still doing albums with.
I mean, we'll do them. It's not going to be like it was when we were younger. We're not going to hit the road for, you know, a month. It's not. That's if anything, we do a few dates back to back. We'll do like a week or a long weekend, you know.
Sure.
But the whole like sitting in a van and eating dirt is. I'm 40. I'm 41, man. I can't do that anymore.
No, but can I? So I read a quote, and I'm correct me of the name of the band that you used to share a house with, Silent Mara.
Oh, Silent Mara. Yeah.
Silent Mara.
Yeah, they are. So still you guys shared a house? Well, we didn't really share a house, but we kind of like we had a house where the band all lived together.
Yeah,
and we would just have parties every day.
So he
and they were there all the time.
And he did say, he has a quote in there about when he met you guys and party with you guys, that you knew that you were not normal. So I'm assuming there's some good house parties stories going on.
Woo, buddy.
And what is with your touring days that they just knew meeting you? What? You got anything for us? Because that sounds fun.
Yeah, I had a reputation in Southern Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It started when I was very young, because when I was like 15, high school years, so quick anecdote so you can understand what's going on there. Mm-hmm. My father got arrested. We were all living in New Jersey. We're Joey Diaz town. And then we had to flee to Florida.
Flee is an
not by choice. Not by choice.
Flee is the word. Right.
Yeah, okay.
And so my grandfather purchased this enormous house, 8 bedrooms, some ridiculous shit. Enormous house. And he wanted the entire family to live in this house. As you can imagine, very explosive, very nuclear heat in that house. So everyone would just leave. And I would have the house to myself for days. Wow. They would just disappear. I'm like, all right, well, I'm having a fucking party. Yeah. How about that? And so I started inviting bands that I knew from like local shows. Like, hey, man, you want to play my house? Let's just bring everybody to the house. And we would book. I would book like 3 bands. I would have like ladies do like oil wrestling in the front yard. I'm not proud of that, but
you're
you're
doing this at 15.
Yeah.
Nice. So you were the party guy.
Yep. And so we would throw these big ass parties, and then eventually I moved out of my grandparents' house. I had my own place with some friends. It was not my own place, but we had a house with some roommates, have parties there all the time, have bands set up in the living room and just have 200 people show up. And then at one of those parties, I met the band, The Sever. I met the guys. And okay. I would perform too. I would do like acoustic stuff, like maybe like I'll play like a sample and then just play over that. I did like a Welcome to the Machine cover from Pink Floyd. I think that was the one that caught their attention. So they hit me up like, hey man, if you need a band, I'm like, yeah, I could use a band. So we started hanging out, and then I'm not going to get into this part of the story, but I ended up being homeless at one point. So I moved in with them, and they had a huge house out in the middle of it's not the Redlands, but yeah, it was the Redlands in like Homestead, Florida. And we would have these massive parties, 200 people, kegs everywhere, people boxing, like with giant gloves or something, like just random shit. Lots of drugs.
Yeah.
It's Florida. So lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of acid. Like I took a lot of acid during those days, dude. Yeah. And, you know, and people wonder why I don't remember. You know, certain things.
The parties that I met you at.
Hey, man, you remember that one time with Johnny and the band, and the guy was with there was a chicken. We called her rotisserie chicken. I'm like, nope, I don't remember most of that. But yeah.
But the story kind of tells itself. If you called her rotisserie chicken, I think I can get it.
Yep.
Yeah. I did mention oil wrestling. At some point.
Nice.
Yeah, it was wild, dude. I mean, we ended up playing at a porn shoot. Like it was just Florida's nuts.
Yeah.
It's not good for your health. Like it's a bad place to be. That's why I fled. And LA is not much better, but at least I can get some stuff done out here, you know.
Right? Right? Eddie,
Florida,
I feel like
you're just being debaucherous for nothing.
I feel like we could do with you what Ryan Sickler has done with Joey Diaz. I don't know if you've watched the Honeydew where Joey Diaz tells his life story over I feel
there's
like
a lot. There's a lot of chapters, like dude.
We just scratched the tip of your story,
right?
So that
could be a follow-up episode of just the life in,
right?
Whenever you want. I've been writing a book since I was 12.
Nice. Yeah,
nice. Before we go though, let's talk about the Comedy Store Wrestling podcast with Earl and how that came to be. Was there a Comedy Store Wrestling podcast prior to that that you guys kind of, or did you guys create that?
So we created the name. I created the name. Okay. And the store horsemen, Tony Hinchcliffe, Chris Burns, Johnny Scordis, Matt Edgar. Those guys had a show about wrestling at the store. But once Tony left to Texas, they stopped, you know. Okay. And that was like my whole thing. There was a weird time during the pandemic or after the pandemic where, you know, people were like, oh, you know, comedy scene in LA is dead now. I'm like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. You know what just happened? They're like, oh, but everybody left. I'm like, yep, they just opened up a bunch of spots.
Mm-hmm.
True. All you did, you left it for us. That's it.
Yeah.
So I immediately jumped in, and you know, I was already still going weekly just to hang out and meet people. I was friends with Joel Jimenez, so we're just hang out. He's working there as a door guy now. Yeah, you remember Joel? He was a drummer.
Yeah, drummer on. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just hanging out, and I meet John, who's the producer of the show. I hear him talking about, like, oh, we're going to start a new Comedy Store network. We're going to have a whole bunch of unique new shows coming out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, How about a wrestling show? He's like, actually, I've been wanting to do a wrestling show with Earl Skakel. I'm like, I should be the host of that.
Mind control.
I love it. I love it.
Dude, Jedi mind. I'm the host of that show.
Yeah. Put it in the universe and make it happen.
No, yeah, it's weird because it was kind of like that. I know it sounds weird and cocky, but it was just kind of like, I should be that. And it was like, okay, why? And I just started sending him stuff. I'm like, this, look at all the stuff I've done.
Yeah.
Come
yeah.
on, let's do this. And so he gave me the opportunity. We were trying to figure out a name, and I was like, why make it weird? Just Comedy Store Wrestling.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's CSW. It's feels like a wrestling league, just a name, you know?
Right. And if you can put Comedy Store in the name of your podcast, why wouldn't
exactly
you?
Exactly. That use that power Virgin. To draw the
yeah,
people
yeah.
in.
Right.
So that's been, you know, since day one, I first person I reached out to was Josh Barnett. Because, you know, once he said, yes, let's do the show, we'll call it this. And we got a logo like sent in.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're doing this. I'm going to go reach out to Josh Barnett because I, you know, it's not pulling favors, but it's just kind of like, hey, man.
Well, and you gave it some legitimacy right off the bat. You know, yeah. You get a guy like that in there and instantly you're good to go. So
that's been the case. Like, that's how it was with RRBG. My first episode was Adam D from Killswitch, you know, like that. Can't start any higher than that. He's a Grammy winner. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Our first episode was us two getting drunk, yeah. acting stupid. So
we're in the same thing. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but look, I know that I am not famous, right? Yeah. I know that. So sure. I may be getting some notoriety now with all the stuff that's going on for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I know that if I'm going to start a show, nobody's tuning in for me. They're tuning in for the guest.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to make it as big as possible.
There you go.
Get your attention.
We found that out very quickly. Very quickly.
Oh. Yeah, man. It's been working great. Earl and I have good chemistry, so
I like it when you have people on there who don't really know wrestling all that way. Like when you had Jetski Johnson on and you were showing her wrestling, and I enjoy those episodes where people, because I watched wrestling when I was a kid, but I haven't since the 90s. Like after Hogan and Paul Orndorff and Quitter. Macho Man, all what?
Quitter.
Oh. I thought you said. I thought you called me a queer.
Jeez,
a little
wow,
harsh.
That's a little hard. I'm a quitter.
Billy and Chuck's wedding. Fam. What's going on here?
So I haven't watched in a long, long time, but I got to admit, I get more interested in it just by what you know, right. stuff you guys put out, and just seeing clips and stuff, and going.
Well, when we with Earl, we the passion of his, yeah. you know, same thing. Right. We were all excited too, so right. it brought back the passion for him. You know, so.
Yeah, those episodes that you mentioned with people that don't know wrestling, I called it the Outsiders, because I love the Outsiders team, you know, Razor Ramon and you know the Diesel, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They were the Outsiders, and I figure you know if we're gonna have people that aren't in our clan of wrestling, then they're the Outsiders. You know, yeah. they're the ones. So true, it opens up the door. Again, this is lessons that I learned through the years. Like, I need to leave those doors open. So if we have an outsider segment, we can have anybody on the show. It doesn't matter who it is.
You have good branding marketing ideas going around in your head.
Like, years of working of soul sucking corporations is paying off.
right. Yeah. I never thought of that. And we talk to a lot of playmates and we have talked to playmates who are sober.
You're talking to one right now, buddy.
Oh, I know. believe me, every episode we talk about how we can't leave the beautiful woman waiting. And this time it was, we can't leave the sexy man waiting. So
that's the Eddie.
You'll see it. But we've had playmates who are sober, and then you're like, cause we'll always ask guests, like, what are we going to drink or whatever? Yeah. Obviously with you, I just grabbed a beer, but, but then you have some who are sober and they're like, well, I'm not going to drink. And you're like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to. So,
but thanks for coming on. Yeah.
We haven't had anybody say no because of it, thankfully, but
yeah, that's why I switched it around. I got like 10 people like, nope.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wow.
You gotta respect
I should
it,
change
so.
It then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like for you guys, you could do mocktails. You know, that's a big thing here in LA now.
Right.
We did that 1 week.
Well, yeah, and most people that are sober nowadays smoke weed, so then we'll do a weed episode.
California sober.
Right. Exactly.
California sober.
Exactly.
You got her.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually just started something. It's going to be coming out soon. We have one of the playmates she lives in Hawaii. She's big into weed, and she's going to be answering weed questions for people, and we're going to call it Ask Ashley. It's just like a little half hour thing. So we're going to have that like every couple months coming out. So
with the baked bunny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So. The baked bunny. I like that.
Yeah.
Trying to expand a little
bit. Do whatever we can. So.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to, like, when you start a thing like this, like your show that you have, you know, I'm sure when you started, you weren't envisioning where you're at now. I mean, look at you. You got the setup and everything, and it looks great. And, you know, your thing keeps growing even without you. So you're just kind of like, all right, well, let's keep it growing. Keep it going. Yep. New ideas. How do we make more things? And,
That's the thing. When you contacted me, I was like, shit, he wants to come on our podcast. Like, what?
Right now?
Yeah, I'm so sorry, by the way. Thank you for, moving the schedule.
The point I was making is, heck yeah, we're in this together. It's kind of the way we thought of it. So let's go.
I appreciate that. Let's go. What I did was I just did the sin of the Comedy Store. I bumped somebody. I bumped whoever was coming out next week or whatever.
That's all right. We always have a handful of them in the bank, and nobody knows when they're coming out until I don't tell anybody until like the week before they're coming out because I have a daughter, so we can only record every other week. So you know, I have a daughter with an ex, so I have her every other week. So we'll bank a bunch of them and then kind of put them out. So
No, but I appreciate everything you're just listening to you. Expands what why not?
The possibilities are endless.
They really are. And we appreciate that. Possibilities are endless, awesome, man.
No, I was thrilled that you reached out. I hope that didn't come out the wrong way. I was thrilled that you reached out because I'm like, I knew you had been following and you know, I was following along and I was like, oh wow, he wants to come. That's awesome. So we appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Beer, rock and roll, comedy.
Yeah.
Right up our alley. Loved it. Yeah. Even a pleasure to talk to you. You really do.
Thanks, man. And there's much more stories. Depends on how many beers I drink before we start talking.
Well, we'll do this again for sure. We won't start until we're 4.
And then next time we'll say drink a blood sport or no, a black blood of the earth beer. And then come on. Then we'll get the good stories.
I just haven't had breakfast. I mean, if I drink this right now, I would have puked halfway through this podcast.
It's a hell of a beer.
Right? I'm excited. It's not going to be the last one. There's going to be a second batch, I'm sure. So, you know, can I get some plugs in real quick before we wrap up?
No, 100%.
Yeah, all
right. So,
wide open.
March 30th, Black Blood of the Earth premieres at Bloodsport 9. Tickets are sold out, so you can't get in. However, I will let you in on a little secret. We're not going to sell out of all of the beer there. We're not going to bring all of it. We're going to save a few cases to do another event outside of Bloodsport, since, you know, when we announced the beer, it was sold out already. We figured, you know what, well, let's save some so for people that can't make it to Bloodsport can get some. So we're probably going to set up an event. I don't have any details yet, but thoughts are grill them all, since they're such great partners with us and they had the War Master burger that we did. So we're probably gonna do an event at Grill Them All at some point to for people, you know, so they can get their hands on the beer that weren't able to go to Bloodsport. But we're gonna make another one. We're probably gonna make I'm gonna convince Josh to do a light one, a light lager or some kind of pilsner or something, to cream ale, something light to keep people drinking. But yeah, that's going on. And then that's going to be the beginning of the RRBG Brew Series. More to come on that. You know, comedians are open, bands are open, coffee, tea, beer, anything that you can brew. There's still a few tickets left. Very small amount of the not Sama Mania on March 29th with all the WWE people. We're going to be on the main stage with Sam Roberts at one point, or Earl and I. And, you know, that'll be the first time I'm like on a professional manner that I'm going to be on the main stage, not just walking up there because I'm going to the green room because I'm a fucking animal. Like, they're like, hey, you could go around the back. I'm like, nope, I'm going to go right through the main stage.
I go this way.
Nice.
But yeah, it's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of people that are, everyone's in town. So come to the Comedy Store, because you could just hang out in the front bar and who knows who you'll run into. I ran into Quentin Tarantino on the front bar once. So go hang out at the Comedy Store. Fuck. You hear the Austin, Texas comedians saying how, oh my God, Austin's the new capital. Oh, LA is dead. LA is not dead.
It's not dead.
Comedy Store is sold out every night. Like, it's wild.
Comedy Store is top of my bucket list. I will kill myself again if I die before I get to the Comedy Store. Let's put it that way.
Kill yourself in the afterlife.
Exactly. Oh. I will be. Yeah. I really, really need to do a trip where I just spend a few nights out at the Comedy Store.
That would be great. Yeah.
So
yeah, hit me up whenever you do. Obviously, you know what? Hit up Earl, because He's a paid regular. He has way more pool than I do. I have pool. I have some pool, but Earl's the man, daddy man. Yeah. You know?
Oh, well, we'll come out and talk to both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely. Right. But yeah, please follow me at RRBG Podcast. That's where you get most of my interviews with people over Zoom, or, you know, sometimes I go to the locations and meet up with them. But then follow at Comedy Store Wrestling if you like wrestling and comedy, even if you don't like wrestling all that much, like, you know, we were talking about. The Outsider segments are hilarious. We got Jetski Justin and Jade Catapretta and, you know, Kim Congdon, you know, people that we know that don't watch wrestling. We bring them in.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky you, Kim. I keep bugging Kim trying to get her.
And everybody out there that you're...
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, the band members that you have on your podcasts are great. You know, I mean...
Oh yeah, yeah,
variety of awesome metal bands.
Nine Inch Nails, 311, you know, Rob Zombie and Incubus. Like, I blow my own mind away when I'm like, sometimes I'm like, what? Because I don't have an agent. I don't have a booking agent. I don't talk to agents either. I just DM people. Hey, you want to do the show? And they go, yeah. I'm like, what?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. That's how we do it too. And I can't tell you how many times I've been like, what? They said yes? Okay. Well, cool. So,
yeah, because that's the thing. If you don't ask, they're not going to know.
Exactly. Exactly.
So just ask them. But yes, please, Comedy Store Wrestling, RRBG Podcast, support your boy. I got a lot more stuff coming.
Absolutely. Awesome. And we'll put everything down in the description. We'll put all the links down there. They can find you that way. And we really appreciate it. Thanks for.
We had a blast.
You know, thanks for coming.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you guys for having me. And hopefully we'll do it again.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Bet. I'd love to.
You bet.
All right.
Have a great night.
See you later.
That's fun.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades, and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for
the Candle Power Hour.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electric acid.